Andrew, welcome back.
I'm delighted to be here, Marvin.
And you're going to present us now with a selection I never heard before. So take it over.
Well, I grew up in Texas, and this shows that the Texas side of my nature. One question composers never like to answer is, what kind of music do you write? And I once very flippantly said in a rather sarcastic fashion, well, it's kind of atonal country and western. I meant to be ironic, but it winds up that I actually did write a piece that sort of fits in that category. And this is a piece called Memories of Texas Towns and Cities. A childhood friend of mine, a poet who's lived all of his life in and around central Texas. We grew up together in East Texas and went to high school in Beaumont, Texas. And he wrote a whole series of poems about various locations in Texas, which he collected together under that title, Memories of Texas Towns and Cities. I always enjoyed reading his work, but could never imagine setting any of it to music because of the very vernacular language that he uses. But I chose five of these poems and used them as sort of jumping off points to write sort of musical impressions that incorporate the images that are in the poems. We're going to play one movement from this, a rather short and I think rather humorous movement entitled Vider. Vider is, well, I'll read you the poem. Vider is an upright community among the wilds, hardly noticed from the highway splits it. Thick with pines and palmettos hide motorboats, banks, bars, every hellfire sect. Here the civilized and the seedy are sewn together in swampy land, though biblical parables need not apply, sex and religion growing side by side. Holy roller meeting times divide the rainy weeks, half the days for quoting texts, half for fleshly roller rinks, where electric organs service both for hymning heaven, for limbs animating, couple skating, leaping in rainbow lights, or bowed quaking beneath stained glass panes. Out of sight of traffic's judging eye, the two live on, familiar as Spanish moss, earthy, unreal as the region's armadillo, who's armored against, fed on, a common carnal root. So you'll hear here quotations from several other people's music. It opens with an old revivalist sort of hymn called Marching to Zion, played in typical elaborate piano fashion, as I've heard it played often in these Pentecostal churches. And then you will also hear a certain kind of chaos ensue in which, involved in this piece, which is written for an sort of mini orchestra of nine instruments, there are also pre-recorded sounds of various natural phenomenon, and you'll hear the growling of cougars that inhabit this region and prowl around in the underbrush.
Love it.
And they sort of snarl the way some of the people snarl at you when you visit Vider uninvited. And a little while later, you'll hear a representation of the roller rink where I quote an old Hammond organ tune playing something called Just a Baby's Prayer at Twilight and try to imitate the sound of couples roller skating. And this is once again interrupted by little bursts of hymn music on the organ. And finally, a sort of country and western version of the old hymn, Just As I Am, during which rain begins to fall, and finally the downpour becomes so intense that the tune becomes a broken record and fades away in the deluge. Very appropriate for today, where we may be interrupted in a moment by an announcement that the weather is not behaving as we would like it to.
A simple way to put it, I guess.
But anyway, this is Vider. It's performed here by the University of Texas New Music Ensemble under the direction of Dan Welcher.
Thank you.
We're just listening to Vider from Memories of Texas Towns and Cities by my guest Andrew Radin, as performed by the University of Texas New Music Ensemble, conducted by Dan Welcher. Any comments or questions, feel free to drop me an email. My direct email address is marvinrosen@classicaldiscoveries.org. Again, that's marvinrosen@classicaldiscoveries.org. Well, we are going to go now to a very exciting concert coming up. At 3 p.m. this Sunday, December 13th, there will be a very special program celebrating the 70th birthday of Orchestra 2001's music director, James Freeman. On that program, you'll hear Andrew Radin's celebrations. Movement 1 honors George Crumb on his 80th birthday, and Movement 2 honors James Freeman on his 70th. The program will include new works especially composed for this event by George Crumb, Gerald Levinson, Jay Reese, Andrea Clearfield, David Finko, and Thomas Whitman as well. And Andrew, indeed, a very exciting program. It will take place at Lang Hall Swarthmore College, Swarthmore, Pennsylvania. The cost is a voluntary contribution, and all I can say is that that is a wonderful opportunity for listeners of Classical Discoveries Goes Avant-Garde to hear a tremendous amount of new music. For more information, go to Orchestra 2001's website at www.orchestra2001.org. Now, Andrew, tell us a bit about your piece and the performers of your piece.
Well, the performers will be James Freeman himself, who's the dedicatee of the second movement, and Marcantonio Baroni, who has become something of a champion of my music, and Anthony Orlando, who we already heard in the Quinteto Energico,
right.
And for whom I once wrote a large solo percussion piece, is performing as the percussionist in this piece. The inspiration, of course, comes directly out of the famous landmark work, Sonata for two Pianos and Percussion by Bartok, but I decided to be a little more economical and use only one percussionist, although there's plenty to do, so if you wanted to split it between two, you could. The two movements, one dedicated to George Crumb on his 80th birthday and the other to Jim Freeman on his 70th, came as an inspiration of many things coming together. At Lang Hall, Crumb wrote one of his most popular pieces, Music for a Summer Evening, which is for two pianos and percussion, inspired by the Bartok. And that was actually the piece that dedicated Lang Hall, where we'll hear this piece. Last year, about the same time, Orchestra 2001 celebrated the 100th birthday of Olivier Messiaen with a performance of the monumental Visions of the Amen with Freeman at one piano. He's a remarkable pianist, as well as one of the area's great double bass players, and of course the conductor and artistic director of Orchestra 2001 for the last 21 years. Marc Antonio Baroni played the Visions of the Amen. So all of these things were percolating around in my mind, plus the desire to write something again for Tony Orlando. And so all of this came together in this one piece, which I wrote at Yaddo last year in January. And one thing I would mention is that, although you won't be hearing it here today, anybody that comes to the concert, the conclusion of the entire piece was inspired. This is my squirreliest piece. It was inspired by the fact that this pair of amorous squirrels were frantically chasing each other around a huge tree outside the window of my studio in Yaddo in the middle of the winter. And it was just so hilarious and also faintly terrifying. And I remember I wrote on the sketch, squirrel cannons, because that's the way I wanted to remember it. It does evoke that image in my mind.
Are there going to be any squirrels on stage?
No, I don't think so. Oh. Let's hope not.
Tell me, Andrew, to your knowledge, are all the composers going to be there for this?
Oh, yes, yes. All of them. Crumb will be there, and all of the composers will be there to hear the first. Incidentally, all the composers have done this without commission. Everyone, in gratitude to Jim over the years for the things he's done, are contributing these pieces. The Crumb piece is not a first performance, but it's the first performance in our area of a song cycle, Sun and Shadow. And so I'm very pleased that he'll be in attendance as well to hear the piece that I dedicated to him.
Again, this exciting concert of contemporary music will be this Sunday, December 13th at 3 p.m. in Lang Hall of at Swarthmore College. And hope you can come. I know I will be there.
Well, and if you need added inducement, there will be birthday cake and champagne.
Well, now I know I'll be there, at least for the champagne part of it.
Exactly. It's going to be very festive.
Well, let's go now back to your connections with Orchestra 2001, Andrew. How many works of yours have been premiered by the ensemble?
Well, quite a number of years ago, they performed a suite of music from my full-length opera based on Chekhov's Three Sisters. It was called Scenes and Arias from Three Sisters, and they gave a performance of that. And then fairly recently, they did my concerto for violin and small orchestra, which has the subtitle Canto di Ritorno, with Diane Munro as the soloist. And now they are going to be doing this new piece, Celebrations for Two Pianos and Percussion. Mm-hmm. And on May 22nd and 23rd, they will give the Philadelphia premiere of my piano concerto, again with Marc Antonio Baroni. This piece was first done in Washington in 2008, and I'm greatly looking forward to hearing their performance of that piece.
And in typical mood of this program, we will actually, believe it or not, hear a part of it before the first Philadelphia performance.
Fantastic.
Later on.
I hope that will whet your appetite.
And I'm sure it will. Andrew, tell us just a word or two about the Concerto for Violin and Small Orchestra, Canto di Ritorno. We're going to hear that piece right now.
Well, I did something that I almost felt like I was cheating, but I wrote, when I retired from teaching at the University of the Arts, I wanted to write a piece that I could play myself, and I wanted to have a piece, at least one piece on that program, which was a premiere. And I was working together with a remarkable young woman who was both a violinist and a composer, Jennifer Morgo, and she helped me by reading through the sketches that I made of this violin sonata. I wanted to write a large one-movement piece that nevertheless encompassed the various aspects of a violin sonata. She and I gave the first performance of it in 2001, but I was sort of dissatisfied with it and I revised several parts of it, and I kept hearing in certain passages, I kept hearing instrumentation, and I thought, you know, I'm going to make a version of this for violin and orchestra, which I did, expanding it slightly and, as I say, revising sections from the original sonata version. So it exists now in two versions as a piece for a violin and piano, where I think it's quite a different piece, but is really essentially the same music. And my model for this is Ravel, who seems to have made orchestrations of virtually every piano piece he wrote, and yet they work equally well in both versions. So I'm hoping that's the same case here.
Well, we're going to hear this work now. This is the Concerto for Violin and Small Orchestra, Canto di Ritorno, from 2004, by my guest Andrew Rudin. Our violinist is Diane Monroe, and she is joined by Orchestra 2001, conducted by James Freeman.
Thank you.
A very peaceful, beautiful ending to the Concerto for Violin and Small Orchestra Canto di Ritorno, dating from 2004, by my guest, Andrew Rudine. You heard violinist Diane Monroe, along with Orchestra 2001, conducted by James Freeman. Well, Andrew, that's going to be out soon on a CD, isn't it?
There are plans for my three existing concertos, the violin concerto and the viola concerto, which I neglected to mention was performed by Orchestra 2001 last spring, and now the piano concerto will be this spring. So once we've got the violin concerto and the viola concerto in the can and ready to go, and as soon as we have given the performances of the piano concerto, the plans are for an all Rudine concerto CD on Innova, which is a project that we're looking forward to completing. And I'll be so delighted to have the three works together on the one disc there.
Well, I also want to remind you once again that there will be a very special concert this coming Sunday at 3 p.m. in Lang Hall of Swarthmore College, celebrating the 70th birthday of Orchestra 2001's music director, Maestro James Freeman. And you'll hear Andrew Rudine's celebrations for, I guess, two pianos and percussion, as well as music by composed for the event by George Crumb, Gerald Levinson, Jay Reese, Andrea Clearfield, David Finko, and Thomas Whitman as well. For more information, go to www.orchestra2001.org. It is a voluntary contribution, so you have a wonderful opportunity to hear many premieres of brand new works. And again, one of the featured works will be by my guest, Andrew Rudine, the composition titled Celebrations.
Come and have some champagne and birthday cake with us.
I notice you were the one who brings that up more than I do.
I'm really looking forward to that. You can tell. You'd think it was my birthday.
It's going to be a great concert, and I am looking forward to it. And I thought what we would do is go to an upcoming concert featuring Orchestra 2001, including another one of your works. And
well, I was very pleased several years ago, through an online association with the composer Armando Baiolo, who was, I believe, when we first got together online, he was a graduate student at Yale. He went on to Michigan and eventually wound up in the Washington area, where he started a new music ensemble, which calls itself Great Noise Ensemble. And he was aware of the fact that I had written two movements of a piano concerto, and he contacted me a couple of years ago and said, is there any chance you would consider finishing that piece and letting us give the first performance of it? We have an opportunity to do a concert at the National Gallery of Art, and we'd love to give the premiere of your piece. And I said, well, I have two requirements. One is that I get to choose the soloist, because I think everything depends upon that. And will I complete the piece? Only if you ask me. And I then went to the McDowell Colony, and I wrote the first movement of the piece. What you're going to hear is the finale of the piece, which I originally thought was the opening movement of the piece. After I wrote it, I came to realize that its rondo-like structure fit better as a concluding movement for the piece. And then I went back and wrote the adagio movement. And then the piece was stalled for quite a long time because the plans for the initial impetus for writing the piece disappeared. And so it sort of sat there incompleted for a while. So being offered this great opportunity and knowing now that Marcantonio Baroni was going to be the piano soloist, I went and wrote the first movement with him in mind. And I'm really, really pleased how it all turned out. I got a rave review in the Washington Post, which was beyond my wildest expectations. Audiences seemed to like it a lot. And Baroni became a great champion of the piece and came back and insisted to Orchestra 2001, oh, you've got to play it, you know. So I'm very gratified that they've put it on their schedule for this May 22nd at Kimmel Center, and it'll be repeated at Swarthmore the next day. I'm not sure. I believe it's an evening concert that time at Swarthmore, 22nd and 23rd of May. And it'd be a terrific concert because it's honoring the 100th birthday of Samuel Barber, Weber with his wonderful Knoxville Summer of 1915, and a new piece by Robert Maggio using the same instrumentation and voice. We don't know the title of it yet. And then there'll be my concerto, and there'll be the premiere of Paul Moravec's violin concerto, the Pulitzer Prize-winning composer, who many of you are familiar with here in the Princeton area. So I think it's going to be a really bang-up concert. I'm very grateful to be included as in that such good company.
Well, any comments or questions, feel free to drop me an email. My direct email address is marvinrosen@classicaldiscoveries.org. Again, that's marvinrosen@classicaldiscoveries.org. Andrew, thanks so much for coming.
Oh, it's been a great pleasure, Marvin.
It's been great, and we listen now to the last movement of the Concerto for Piano and Small Orchestra. Thank you.
Check out WPRB.com for station information, playlists.